Basic witches.
Basic witches.
I mean, we're witches.
Basically.
Hello, witches.
I'm Rachel LaForest.
I'm Leah Knauer, but come on. We're friends now. You know all this.
We've gotten so intimate with you guys. We better be friends.
Yes. We have a great episode today. Great conversation. Hopefully you guys can understand it because it is a call-in. We talked to Taya Roxon on the phone. Rachel met Tayo through Instagram.
Yeah, I want to tell the story of how I met Tayo. It's interesting. So I did this photo shoot and I posted a picture and I did a hashtag about positivity on it. And he liked my picture. Probably he follows that hashtag is my guess. And in my notifications, I saw like Tayo Roxon liked your picture and I was like, who is that? And to be 100% honest, the main reason I clicked over to him is because his little picture, you know, from on his name was hot. Like, he looked really good. And I was like, who is this hot guy that liked my picture? And then I get to his page and it's like all this stuff about
TED Talk speaker.
TED Talk, yeah. And like
inspirational
positivity, like talking about masculinity and femininity. And I'm like, whoa, wait, this person's actually cool. So I think I messaged him first. I slid right in, breaking all the stereotypes of masculine and feminine. And I was like, hey, this seems really cool what you're talking about. And then he was like, yeah, we should connect and talk. And we just both went along with it. We just set up a fucking phone call. Like, who does that anymore?
Who does that?
And it was like 7 a.m. my time because he's in New York Eastern. So I get up and we set the phone call. I get up and I just walked around the neighborhood and talked to him for like an hour.
That's so cool,
and
though.
Connected on all this stuff. Yeah. And I admitted to him right on the phone. I was like, well, look, the real reason I went to your page is because you're very attractive. And it was really cute because as you'll hear on the episode, he's a little more shy in that regard. And I'm pretty forward with that stuff. But then, yeah, we stayed connected ever since. And you guys get to hear all about his work today.
Yes. As always, please follow at Basic Witches Pod. Please leave us a review and subscribe. And really just enjoy this episode.
That was a kiss.
We're trying to make it a thing.
Are you in New York right now, Tayo?
Yes.
Yeah, so we can't see you, obviously. So can you just describe what you're wearing and where you are? It sounds like I'm kidding, but I'm serious. I want a visual.
Yeah, can we get your ASL?
What I'm wearing. Okay. I'm in a purple V-neck.
Oh, purple's my favorite color.
Is that your favorite color?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to represent your favorite color today.
Thank you.
I'm wearing a purple, I don't know, I guess you describe it as a deep V, whatever that thing is. And then a gray sweatpants.
Gray sweats.
Oh.
Work from home.
You can work from home.
Oh, wow. Gray sweats.
What does that mean? I don't know.
Gray sweats was like the thing.
What does gray sweatpants mean?
That was like the thing in middle school and high school when guys wore gray sweats. You could see, sorry if this is like a little too forward too soon, but you could see like the outline of their dick. Like, they would hide their boners in the waistband, so now gray sweatpants always just get my brain going.
Yep.
Uh-oh.
This turned into a totally different call. What's that?
I don't know how to respond.
That's fair.
That's fine, but we are charging by the minute. Or hour.
He's like, what did I get myself into?
Yeah, we trapped you. I recently understood, is that kind of the meaning of, like, thirst trap? Like, is that kind of it, like, trap? Like, I kind of lured you in.
Yeah,
and
I got your thirst.
Yeah.
I got you thirsty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like I fell into a trap, but I mean, I don't know. But, you know, I guess I fit whatever that image is.
Oh, I guess so. All right, so Tayo, what are you up to these days? What are you doing in New York?
Well, I run a diversity and inclusion firm. So a lot of my work centers around promoting inclusivity and equality. That has me podcasting like you two do, has me speaking on stages and consulting as well as running workshops. And then I'm, you know, just trying to, you know, promote, you know, an inclusive leadership type of world, because I think we need that given the times we're in right now. But
hell yeah.
What I do. Yeah.
We're all about that.
Yeah.
Who is your demo, like, that you're talking to usually?
Demographic.
No. But it usually
people know what demo means.
My demo varies. Because a lot of times my key focus is on millennials and Gen Z, right? So our generation and the younger than us. Because my goal is to help develop the next set of global leaders. You know, we are... there are about 3 billion people under 30 and in the world. So, you know, I really want to impact them and hopefully show them new ways to lead, and also give them a greater understanding that the world is even more mixed and nuanced than it's ever been. And so how do you equip them with the skills to move from binary types of, you know, binary ways of thinking? And so
how do you do that?
What?
How do you do that?
Well, the first way is to really, like I was doing with the mic check, is give an accurate assessment or help people understand what's going on in the world right now. So in the world right now, we understand that, you know, if you look at the United States, what's considered majority is not going to be the majority in terms of the demo. Sure, yeah, I know the word demo. So, like, whether it's white, males and females, they won't be the majority in about, you know, 10 years from now, or understanding how to deal with what exactly is considered being, I don't know. For example, I'm always confused as an African-American, but I'm African, and I sound like an American, but I grew up in 5 countries and 4 continents. So how do you go beyond just judging someone based on how they look or sound and actually understanding what's, you know, underneath them? And my thing is to make sure people aren't as quick to label people in boxes without actually knowing who they are, because that becomes irresponsible when you start making decisions for people who you haven't actually gotten to know. So what I try to do is really get people to dig deeper and understand who they're dealing with.
Yeah.
I love that.
Hey,
that sounds nice. That, like, gave me a deep breath.
Yeah. How long have you been doing that, and how did you, like, know that that was what you want, the path you wanted to take?
Well, it really starts from me as a kid. I referenced it earlier, I'm a Nigerian, right? So I grew up in 5 countries, 4 continents. But the first 9 years of my life was spent in 2 military dictatorships. So, you know... I grew up with the hallmarks of any great dictatorship. You know, you have the killing of the opponent, the suppression of rights, the violation of anything that's humane, you know, curfews and fear and insecurity. So, you know, initially, so that was my first introduction to leadership. And I often wondered as a kid what type of leader it would take to lead all of us in Nigeria, which is very, very diverse in terms of ethnicity. We have 250 plus ethnic groups. So I was always curious about that. And then I started, I was the kid that studied, you know, Nelson Mandela. I was looking around for people that looked like me that were dealing with similar things. And that was around the time Nelson Mandela came out of apartheid in South Africa. And so I just got really interested in that. And then, you know, I started to watch Oprah Winfrey. And I saw, like, wow, I feel like I'm in the audience there. So I wanted to do a mix of what Nelson Mandela did to fight for equality, but also with Oprah to create spaces for people to express who they are. And then, I, you know, that's what I did. And then in and out of that, you know, you sort of, I had that dilemma where I'm the oldest of 3 boys. So I have, there are cultural expectations of what a man like me is supposed to do. You know, you're supposed to be strong, you know, show emotions, guide all that. And I definitely physically look that way. And I think a lot like that. But there were also aspects of me that I was very, very, I've always been emotional. Like, I've been an emotional guy. I've always been a guy that showed his emotions. So I had this inner dilemma where I was dealing with finding myself in between all these cultures where I was always the minority physically because I was the only this, the only that. I found a difference sometimes. My food is different. I could appear one way, but inside I knew I was another way. Mm. And then I was also dealing with the idea of, quote-unquote, what it is to be a man and a male role model where I played sports all through and I love sports. But I also was the guy that I love a great romantic comedy, very romantic movie.
Who doesn't?
And I love to express myself, and cry as well. So I had like the warrior king protector thing, but then I was also super emotional. So I dealt with those level of intersectionalism at a very, very young age, and yeah. left a lot of confusion as to my identity. And so I just said, I'm just gonna try and create a space for more people to understand that this is a normal feeling and not something
yeah.
else.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that all those layers must go on for everyone, right? Not those yeah. exact same layers, but everyone's nuanced because it's the human experience. Everyone has all these things that shape them inside, but I think uh-huh. the difference is your awareness, that you were aware what was going on inside and outside yeah. of you, right? Because, like, once people become aware of that, then they can start to
acknowledge, accept, yeah. move on, whatever
yeah, figure
it is
out what
that,
they want.
Yeah.
Now that they know themselves.
It's interesting. I feel like I've had a very similar experience as you, Tayo, except the opposite, where, like, I've always been very, not always, but in my adult life, I've always been very feminine, but I also notice that I have these masculine qualities, and it's just interesting how, I've learned to accept them as, like, oh, this isn't masculine or feminine, this is just a human experience, and mm-hmm. we're taught from the beginning that, like, oh, to be male is to not have emotions. To be female is to, not get aggressive, not be competitive, like, all this, not be inappropriate, and, like, yeah. all these things, so it's just,
yeah,
the human experience is so complex.
Exactly, yeah, and I found that expectations sometimes, not all the time, but expectations sometimes can lead to limitations, and,
yeah, definitely. And,
yeah. I didn't mean to call you off.
Well, yeah, I was also going to say, so I know Leah watched this movie. Mm. I guess, is it a documentary, technically?
Documentary, yeah. yeah.
The Mask You Live In. Have you seen that, Tayo?
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay, it's like right up your alley.
So good. Yeah, I assumed that you totally would have known about it, but it's about, like, how males are brought up and, like, toxic male toxicity and, like, aggression and not dealing with their emotions, which then leads to them being repressed, which leads to murder and, like, so many things. Like, it's all a trickle-down effect of teaching men that they can't show their emotions or that they can't yeah. be emotional people, which they so can. The guys that Rachel and I prefer to date are the ones who talk about their emotions.
Yeah.
And right. But it's so funny you say that, though, because for the longest time when I was a kid, I found that women hated that. Well, girls, I guess, it was when I was a kid. Girls hated that for me because, I dealt with, I remember asking, people to go to dances or whatever, and they're like, they wanted to. So the more I grow, man, and I play mm-hmm. I play sports too, so I was a pretty good athlete, still am, but I wasn't emotionally what they thought I was, and so they're like, I guess you sucked. Like, you need to be more firm, be more affirmative. And so I also dealt with that. And then now that I'm older, sometimes I find that by the time people are ready to, like, even think of me in a romantic way, they've gone through different types of guys that they felt they wanted. And then I'm like, so it's just interesting.
That's cool, yeah.
It's always been a dilemma. So that's just my unique experience. Because I know that played into my insecurity a little bit growing up. I was like, she wants something a little bit, she thinks I'm not strong enough. Or she's like, no, take more lead. And so,
yeah.
But
some women are looking for a guy that's firm and strong, but also emotional. So it's like, that would be you.
Oh, wow. I'm glad that you see me that way. But yeah, it took me a while for me to define myself as that, just because my first impressions, right? So first impressions when I remember having a discussion with someone, and And she was talking to me about her expectations in her relationship. And I said, no, I wouldn't expect her to cook or anything. And she was so taken aback by that. She was like, what do you mean? Like, there are gender roles. There are things you should do and all that. I'm like, you know, it doesn't matter if you make more money. And she was so turned off by that.
Oh.
And then that was the first discussion. And I was like, you know, and that, to me, I understood from her with the way she was brought up and culturally.
Mm-hmm.
So I think with masculinity and femininity, there's the expectation.
Totally.
And then there's also a cultural expectation sometimes, depending on where you're from. So...
Totally.
I think it's always what I say.
Yeah.
But, if we start off with the self awareness and the comfort of knowing who we are, I think that's
and
a good
owning
foundation.
That.
It's so true. It leads all things.
Yeah. And also in that movie, I saw part of it so far. They showed this really cool display that I thought. I'll try to pull it and put it on the Basic Witches Insta page. But it was saying how...
The bell curve, right?
Yeah, but also it had this graph that looked like a spectrum that went from, like, orange to blue just to show it with color. But anyways, it was talking about masculinity and femininity and how men and women, boys and girls, whatever, are way more human than they are man or woman.
Mm.
Like, they are more...
Just
we are
all
more
kind of the
alike.
Same thing.
We're
yeah.
all just a little bit different combination of the same thing. So we actually all like have both that masculine and feminine, but it's a spectrum.
It's how
and
we've been conditioned is
yes,
probably the huge.
We've been conditioned into the ends of that line. If you picture a line left to right going from feminine to masculine, somewhere in the middle, you know,
yeah.
in some people, but everyone's somewhere on that spectrum. But stereotypes and gender roles come from that very extreme edge that's only really like 2% of people or whatever, because 98%, they said, are like somewhere more in the middle of that spectrum or whatever. So I thought that was a really good way to put it, that we're all more human than we are man or woman.
Yeah,
we all have both.
Yeah, no, I think it's, I mean, but even as we look at what we promoted throughout generations, right? I think you two read the thing I wrote about redefining.
Yes, we want to talk about that.
The manifesto.
So let's explain to listeners. So Tayo wrote this manifesto. It's a manifesto for the 21st century gentleman. Is that right?
Yeah.
Manifesto for the 21st Century Gentleman, which we'll link to. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And it is his sort of...
Guidelines,
yeah. And, like, priorities listed out for how to be a gentleman in this current era of dating and just also being a good human.
Mm-hmm.
So, go on, Tayo.
Well, yeah, no, thank you both, by the way. I really appreciate that. I think... A lot of times throughout the centuries, when we looked at what paragons of male virtue or what male has been, you know, it's what is in the medieval times, it's, you know, this strong guy that basically fought through, you know, several, you know, he was a warrior type person. And then whoever was aggressive and overcame and conquered and all that. And then as I continued to look through the different centuries, I was like, yeah, these have been our heroes. And I love them as heroes. Obviously, it's good to have them, but it always seems very one note to me, where I can't believe that all men had to have been this way.
Yeah.
Because not all men were at the peak level of physical strength and just the tactician level type thing. And so what happened to the other men? And I always wondered about that. Like, did they feel insecure perpetually, or were they always compared to this expectation? And then... As I was thinking about that, I kept thinking, these are the things we're subconsciously telling our young boys and men to aspire to. And when they don't reach that level, they think that they've failed. And so they repress a lot of these feelings because we don't create a space for men and boys to talk about insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So then when you're repressed, it manifests itself in some form of anger or, you know, not enoughness. And then you start just... you know, acting out in different ways, and that feeds its way into things like, what, the rape culture, or people in the workplace, or, like, a behavior where you want to just take, exert dominance in any
in
form,
any way
whenever you have the opportunity. So maybe that kid who wasn't a jock in school finally has a chance to be like the CEO in a company.
Now I have all this power.
You
go overboard and you're like, what happened? And then we don't understand that. So I just wanted to add a little bit more nuance. And what I was saying with the 21st century is that we don't live in a too much of a hunter-gatherers type world anymore, right? We have technology, we have, amazing women that we need to affirm. We have amazing people of different orientations we need to affirm, mm-hmm. and some things are considered more normal than they were before. So we can't have that form of thinking in the past as we apply to today's world. And also, for the longest time, nerds were considered like, you don't want to be a nerd. Now we're saying nerds are cool.
It's cool,
So how do you deal? So how do you deal with all this nuance? And that was where that came from. And then I was tapping into my early life experience where I as a Nigerian man, as an African man, there are certain expectations of what it is to be, a brother and the oldest. And I had people looking up to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even if I didn't want people to look up to me, and I have to be ready before that. My parents will always remind me that, look, people watch it. You're thinking for three people now. And so I've always been in a position of leadership. And as I was thinking about that, I just wanted, through the different types of manhood I went to, when I was in middle school, I tried to be, I'm definitely naturally a jokester, but I over-accentuated the jokey because I didn't consider myself attractive, and girls kept telling me, I can't take you seriously. And then I do love sports, so I was, a bit of a jock sometimes in terms of that. And then when I was aspiring for professional success, I was like, I want to be that person that's desirable, like the guy that wants to get there, and then the action hero, like you want to be the one that saves everyone. And that saving complex sometimes can lead to not affirming people that you consider weak. You're like, no, I did it. So I was just dealing with all that, and I wrote it down, and this is right before the Me Too movement, and it just made me think, because I felt like a lot of us men have all these thoughts where we think we're supposed to be a certain way, and we don't really allow ourselves to sit with ourselves and just think, hey, I have elements of all these things, and I need to just fully express that as myself.
Yeah.
And so that's where that came from.
That seems like so much to, put on yourself. And, thinking about, being a woman is very hard, but we generally talk about our emotions with each other, so at least we have a sisterhood. So I can't imagine feeling all those things in, a young boyhood and then growing up into a man and, you didn't have any sense of, community to lean on and talk about these things and know that it's okay to be the way you are.
Yeah, to have all that emotion inside that inevitably is there. It's got to be there.
Yeah.
Because, again, that's the human experience.
Right.
So to not have an ingrained way to let that out, I think I would be going crazy.
Yeah.
I would be going crazy.
I mean, it's
crazy.
No wonder. I read this thing yesterday that male suicide, men under 50 are more than 50% more likely to commit suicide or something like that. And it's because, it all comes down to repression and emotions.
Power,
no emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not balanced. It's totally too much on one side.
Sometimes it feels oversimplified to me, but then I come back to this feeling that this work, just to be talking about this, is so profound.
Mm.
And I truly believe that the emotional and the sexual houses of our health. So we have five houses of our health, mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, and sexual, that makes up the components of your health as a human being. And I think that the emotional and the sexual one are really
so connected.
Really traumatized and really repressed in our society of the whole world, really. So I think that it sounds simple, but healing those two houses of health for humans, I think, would seriously create, like, way more harmony in heaven on earth.
Because
it would, I seriously think, take away war. And because we would then be caring for each other and, just the whole thing.
Yeah.
I agree. And I think we can't be scared of our own vulnerability. That's what I'll add. Mm-hmm. I was scared of my vulnerability for the longest. I remember I went to boarding school in Nigeria, and I remember the time I came back from Nigeria from Burkina Faso. I came in the middle of the school year. It was just 10th grade, and I came back to Nigeria. This time my accent was different. I was taller. I started with sports and facial hair. So and I played basketball in addition to soccer. So I remember, you know, you just think about yourself. Anyone that a new kid in school, in the middle of the school year, speaks like in a different accent.
Yeah.
And I was for the first time received as cool. Like I just come from.
Oh, nice.
People were tearing down my cards when I made Valentine's Day cards. They're like, "Oh, you're not desirable." Then I come here, and then people are like, you know, like, "Oh, this guy, I want to be. So I didn't even know how to deal with that. But what was happening was, I started to notice that, you know, because of my normal, you know, I have that dual, I play sports, but I'm also emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And I was bonding more with the girls, and that caused a lot of resentment with the guys. And in dorms, we live with guys. And so I was physically bigger than all my classmates, but, and I was desired, I guess, by their girlfriends, but I didn't even know how to deal with that. And so it was this dilemma where the guys didn't know how to deal with me because they thought I was a traitor. And like, why are you always talking to the girls? So I came back home one day, and they had cut up all my shorts and
what?
Put lotion all over it.
Oh,
and
what?
That was the only, yeah. So, and I remember feeling like, what the? So I hadn't processed that for years. I was just like, man, this is, I don't know. I like, you know, I can't fit in anywhere. The place I live in, people think I'm a traitor because I like talking more to women, and I was just dealing with them.
Damn.
Figuring out whatever that was. And I remember that, you know, having this little identity insecurity for me. I was like, well, I got to hide a lot of these parts of me because, you know, I can't be seen as someone that doesn't want to hang around guys and all that. So that was a very pivotal moment for me in 10th grade. And I, you know, and gradually, you know, people started to see that it wasn't an act initially, because I think a lot of the guys thought that was I came there to just steal all their women.
One mission.
You know, and then you know how you react like aggressively. But after about a year or so, people said, "Oh, yeah, I guess it's just this guy is just weird. That's just how he is." And they're like, "Oh, that's just tired. But it took a while for people to accept me as what I was. And you know, sometimes the women were like, "Why don't you just talk? Be more like, say something. You know, do something." I was like, "What? What am I going to do?"
Because you didn't want to be aggressive, because that wasn't naturally you. You didn't want to lash out or whatever.
Well, and I definitely have aggressive moments because I am very passionate.
But right. You're a Scorpio. Like
a duh. I don't know about any of that. But so I just didn't. I was accepting the situation because I was like, I've moved enough. I don't want to be the guy that beats up his whole dorm and then because someone did something. And I was like, I will deal with this punishment of having my shorts cut up as opposed to be like potentially losing out on my male friends.
Yeah.
So I just kept it in.
Wow. Yeah, you kind of like kept the peace. That I was just thinking, it's interesting for our generation because surprisingly, all of us here are about the same age. Mm. I really thought you were older, Tayo, because you have so much life experience and you are very wise.
Oh,
I
also thought you were older.
But you are, can I say your age?
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
I think you are 28, right?
I am indeed, yeah.
Wow, so accomplished. So for our age, our generation, we are kind of, I think, the transition generation, and I'm really hopeful that like your work and our work and just talking about all this is going to bring up the next, the fresh young people, because in a way that supports emotional expression for men. But the ones that are already here, us, that we're trying to date, the damage is done, kind of, you know, and so we have to work with the current.
Feels like we have to reteach.
Yes, we have a lot of like teaching and helping each other to do, and so we're kind of putting in the work for that new generation. But I guess I was just gonna, and you know, things like your manifesto honestly might go on my like required reading before the semester starts for anyone who's gonna date me.
If you want to fuck teacher, you gotta read the book.
Yeah. Because I don't know, like I know that I'm gonna have to be with someone emotionally intelligent, and it is not their fault that a lot of men aren't yet.
Sure. Yeah. So it's kind of our own society's fault. So yes, we can't blame them.
Everyone
entirely
holds the blame. But yeah.
Well, in reading the manifesto, when I was reading it, I loved it, but it all boiled down, like, most simply is just respect.
Yeah.
Human respect.
Yep. 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 You have to.
Yep.
I think on some level, we've promoted this idea that sometimes men are superior to women, or a different type of man is superior to another type of man. Or there's just that level. And even if sometimes we might not even, all this is subconscious a lot of times, unless you're super, super into like whatever alpha male is. You're like, no, this is the alpha.
It's subtle, is what you're saying. It's nuanced into every little action. Yeah.
And so when you're taught that from an early age, and your brain just sort of subconsciously accepts certain behavior and then discards other behaviors. And you know, when you don't even, like you said, you're not emotionally intelligent to understand which emotion is yours and which is someone else's, you just start to take on a different thing, you know. You know, I'm one of the biggest romantic movie stars, but I have to even go reevaluate some of my favorite romantic movies where I was like, yo, that is actually stalking.
Yeah,
and it's so funny because growing up, I was like, oh, yeah.
He's so romantic. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's checking on her, you know. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's insane. So, but that type of behavior was normalized. I love Disney as well. And, you know, so my favorite Disney movie is Beauty and the Beast.
Classic.
So it's strong female characters. But a lot of the Disney characters, I know there's changing it now with different things, but in recent years, because we've seen a lot of strong female characters, but it is like this is the same thing. It's the guy will come in. The guy, even if it's like Prince Charming, barely says any word. He just came in, rode up, and then saved the day randomly. But we didn't really even get to know the guy.
Yeah,
he was just there. Hey, that was him, and so that's all you do know. There wasn't really any layer or context or any of that, and then you promote women as, you know, damsels in distress sometimes.
Right.
And so in between that, we need to tell all these stories, but these are things our kids watch, our younger siblings watch, and so they just become normalized behaviors.
Yeah.
And it happens at both ends, because sometimes women expect, you know, this is how it should be, and then men expect this is how it should be, and then the ones that don't have those expectations are the ones that seem to be weird, and they're like, what type of aggressive female are you? What's going on? How dare you express your desire for independence? Don't you know that you should be submissive every time?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like...
And that goes back to that, like, spectrum I was saying, that it's so eye-opening seeing how the majority of us are, you know, awash in that spectrum, but then we're all pressured to be in those extreme ends that are stereotypes and gender roles.
Yeah,
so it's like, it's so unattainable. What's that?
So we live in a nuanced world that's governed by binary systems.
Yes.
So that's what we have.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Trying to fit us into these binary ideas.
But life's not black and white. It's like all gray.
Oh my gosh. The older I get, the more I'm realizing how
everything is gray.
Uh-huh.
The lines are it's all so blurred. Everything is like context.
And every all the crazy shit that like, you know, gets written to movies or reality shows or whatever, it's like, yeah, that is actually based on life. Life is crazy. Humans will do whatever they want. Everyone's crazy.
Yep.
I don't know how I got there, but it's true. Yeah. It's been on my mind lately. I want to re-listen to that song, Blurred Lines. I want to actually listen to the lyrics and see if they're poignant at all or if it's just...
It's mostly sexual.
Mostly just sexual. Yeah. Okay, but...
Still a good song.
That kind of brings me to part of my point, though, because... All that crazy shit does happen because we are humans and we are going to end up doing the shit that we want to do even when we repress it. It's just it's going to come out in a more violent way or a more crazy way mm-hmm. when it's not allowed to be free-flowing all the time when it's repressed. So, like, that's why all the lines are blurred because mm-hmm. we're still going to do that shit. We're just going to either hide it or make yep. it, you know, aggressive or whatever. Mm-hmm. So why don't we just accept that we have desires uh-huh. and allow them... Ugh.
Yeah.
Free love.
Yep.
Well, Tayo, I want to ask you, are you like a witch?
Do you consider yourself a witch?
Do you do like manifestation or like meditation or anything like that?
Am I a witch? I mean, so I am. I was sorted in Ravenclaw.
Oh,
a wizard. Interesting. I was told by one of our other guests that I am a Ravenclaw.
Ah,
high
well,
five!
Yeah, so in that, I'm a Ravenclaw. I don't know if that makes
claw five.
but yeah. I mean, by the way, I'm obsessed with Harry Potter, so I probably bring that reference every time. But
nice.
Yeah, please tell me, what is the definition of a witch to you?
Great question. We both believe that it's mostly about following intuition and positivity and empathy and seeing the magic in life, whether that's through manifestation or just positive thinking.
And gratitude.
Yeah.
Well, then I agree with everything you said.
Oh, yeah. So you're a witch! Yay!
Basically. By our definition, you are.
But so do you do anything like spiritual to practice positivity or anything or gratitude?
Yeah. I like to start myself. So I'm a Christian. So I like I do devotionals or I always practice a mental workout. I always think it's interesting to we don't work out our brains and our minds enough, but. You know, we work out of physical bodies, and we understand the results that we're trying to get. But the reason, if we don't work out your physical, your mental mind, you're not going to be able to have what it is that you want to have, because you have to be able to decipher what is your thinking, what is someone else's thinking. You have to be able to practice positivity to overcome negativity, because negative emotion is easier to tap into. Mm-hmm. And many of us, whether we accept it or not, are addicted to. To negative emotions, to guilt, and to all that. We like the feeling that comes from that, whether we say it or not. It's like sometimes we live in that more. And so I like to practice that positive mindset where I'm visualizing sometimes what I will do if something happens, right? If someone spills something in my shirt, how am I going to react with that? Or if I don't get the client that I wanted, what's that going to turn that into? And so I just like to... mentally give myself that type of practice, especially when I wake up or when I go to bed, just so that I'm mentally ready and breaking bad habits. So, yeah.
Cool.
Nice.
And going back a little bit, what was the experience like when you first realized that it was okay for you to talk about your emotions?
Well, I started talking about emotions the same time I came to Nigeria back to boarding school. I actually started with poetry. I wrote a book.
Cool.
Wow, that's a great way to express emotion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I described the situation. I didn't have an outlet, and so I just started writing, and it, I was writing about my thoughts and friendship and love and what I want to do in the future. And it's funny, as I read back sometimes, it's funny thinking where my mindset was. And then I started to do that more and more. And then by the time I came to college, I was 17, and I was like, you know, I made a decision to just be who I am. And I was like, that's fine. I'm not changing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt, you know, I just started finding myself in, you know, in leadership positions. And I just, whenever I had the leadership position, I would say, hey, look, this is what I'm doing. And over the last few years, it's only become a good thing, you know, to me, because people are like, I admire your vulnerability. I admire your all this. And
good.
Because, yeah, but it's interesting seeing that shift. But it all started, I needed to find it. I always tell people to find a way to express yourself. So I just, the more I expressed myself for those 2 years from 10th to 12th grade, it prepared me for me to be comfortable with who I was, regardless of where I went. And so, find an outlet to express yourself, and then, And you know, the funny thing, though, with all my friends from high school, I actually gained, apparently, more of their respect when they realized that I didn't relent. Because a lot of times, we're like, I guess people like to test people. Mm-hmm. People were trying to break me, essentially.
Get a reaction out of you.
I'm trying to get a reaction to me, and, you know, some of the guys would tell me, hey, I don't understand, you look this way, so you should
act this way.
All these people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or why are you seemingly more, you know, you side with women sometimes, and you side with men sometimes, you're not on our side all the time, and you're like, hey!
Yeah, that's how it should be. Side with the side that you agree with, regardless of gender.
Yeah, so I know, right? It's such a weird concept. I agree with this one now, I agree with that. But, so that guy expressing myself that way made me feel comfortable. And I read a lot. Like, I'm a nerd, so I found heroes I can identify with. I bring up Harry Potter often, or different books. I couldn't find my heroes physically, I found them in books. Or on TV shows. I grew up in One Tree Hill.
Oh my God,
Oh my God, One Tree Hill, the first 4 seasons. Ooh. So good.
First of all, One Tree Hill is my favorite show of all time. So.
Oh, shit. With the basketball.
Yes.
I saw the evil dad, Dan, on the beach here in California.
He has like sexy? A little son.
Yeah, kind of dad sexy.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a
and
hot bad dad.
Lucas Scott character was one I identified with, and then the evolution of Nathan Scott. But then
he was emotional, but he was also
An athlete. Oh my God, that makes so much sense. You liked him.
Yeah,
basketball is my favorite sport. I was an athlete. I liked books. You find a relatable character, and I wouldn't even start up. Any of this way without my mom. My mom, strongest woman I know, she raised 3 boys. She made it a point to remind us what it's like to treat women. So that's probably how I got started, honestly. And then it became something else. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
It's so good that you're like using your power for good to teach other men and young boys to respect women and all humans.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because it inspires everyone.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We appreciate you.
Have you ever gotten your cards read or anything, like tarot or anything?
I have not. I have a feeling that if I was there physically, someone would have come out there and say, give me your cards.
Say what? Wait, so you have a feeling someone would say what?
I feel like if I was there, my sign would have been red and my card would have been red.
Your card is still getting red, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Currently,
the deck of cards is sitting on top of the phone to suck up your energy.
You don't know this, but we've been sucking up your energy for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, yeah, we are going to definitely pull a card for you.
Okay. How's that going to work? Don't you need me to be there?
No.
We're connecting with you right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Are you nervous at all?
Yeah, you are. It's all positive.
Yeah.
These are goddess cards, so they're just like, they're just prompts to make you realize something that you maybe forgot or something you already know but aren't paying attention to, and just a little, like, nudge of guidance. Take from it what you will.
Yeah.
How do you feel? Let's talk about feelings.
Yeah.
What we've been talking about this whole time. How do you feel?
I feel slightly nervous, but I'm great.
My interpretation, just let's see if my clairvoyance is working. I feel like maybe your Christianity is at odds with this. Mm. Is that what's going on?
Interesting. That's actually very interesting. You know, I'm a different type of Christian, because initially, growing up, I definitely had a lot of rigid, you know, we talk about black and white nuance, and as I started to grow up, I was very different. Like, I know in Nigeria, like, for example, people used to say homosexuality was a sin, and then I grew up, I was like, no, it's not, right? And so, yeah. And then it's a different, and I fell off with the same sort of thing, so I'm not your stereotypical Christian in the sense that I feel like I've actually felt a lot of Christians have been way judgmental. Throwing stones on glass houses, where I feel like the core principle is trying to advance humanity. So it's not at odds, because the way I think now is different. I'm a lot more nuanced and more open-minded than expect, I guess.
Yeah. So then, where is the, what's going on with the fear?
Oh, it's just, I'm still working on this control thing.
Are you a perfectionist? Kind of?
Sometimes.
I'm
a perfectionist, and I can be an overthinker as well. So.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, it's more about control. It's the same thing with zodiac signs. Like, I know a lot of my friends love zodiac signs, and they always tell me, but every time I walk into a room and someone asks me is my zodiac sign and I say I'm a Scorpio, I see like people like breathing heavily and rolling their eyes. I'm like, well, what is that?
You feel like you don't have a good judge
straight away. Yeah, I'm like, so that's what I have. It's more like, I'm like, I've dealt with like
so
a many stigma.
Obsessive, stubborn, arrogant. What's wrong with you? I'm like, what the?
How'd you know?
Yeah.
And so I see that all the time. So that's more where that's coming from. It's
gotcha.
Christianity, all that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, then maybe the lesson is release control, baby, because we're about to read these cards.
Oh, shit.
Okay, so, Tayo, this is Rachel talking, and I am holding the cards up to my heart for you. I'm trying to be in your energy or, like, your spirit. Do you have anything in mind that you want some guidance on or anything you want to know more about in your life right now?
I want to know more about that right now.
Can you tell us so I can channel that?
I'm always curious about it's a very, I don't know, it's going to sound very nerdy, but yes, it's the advancement of humanity. So I'm always wondering about where conflict comes from and how to resolve them, because especially conflict based on different values. That's what I've been studying. How do you reconcile those thoughts and have a cohesive world? So that's kind of been my mind.
I have to ask, just because it came to me, was the first thing that popped into your head actually wanting to know about the romance department in your life?
Romance? I wasn't thinking of romance.
You weren't at all? Okay. Maybe it's my own, like, my own heart getting in the way. Okay, so
should I answer?
No, whatever came to
you. I'm just double checking to let you know it's a safe space if that really is what you actually wanted guidance on. I'm just checking because that came to me. But if it's more about the what you said, knowing some more guidance on where this conflict comes from, then we'll go with that.
Does your question apply to you in a personal way, like something that you're
career
personally going with, or do you mean more so for your asking for society?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think career and society are the same. A lot of my work is on helping, I mean, you know, whatever the speaker consultant, it is about advancing society in some way. So I spend a lot of my day observing the world through different mediums. So I can explain that. So that's why I said it's very nerdy.
No, I like it.
Yeah.
Just trying to get more clear about it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that helps me. Thank you. So, okay, let's all take a deep breath.
Letting it go.
Okay. I am asking the cards for some guidance for Tayo. In his work helping humanity, he wants to know more about the source of conflict so that he can help with alleviating that. And this feels like the card.
Ooh.
Woo, baby!
Oh,
okay.
I love this woman.
You pulled Freya, bold. Unleash your adventurous side, take risks, and be daring. And what's really interesting is she's a warrior, which you talked about earlier. So I'll just describe what the card looks like for you, Tayo. And maybe I could actually text a picture to you, get real virtual here. But she's very confident. She's like got piercing eyes and white hair, kind of like Khaleesi. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
Yep.
Okay, yeah.
Her eyes are like covered in total blue. It kind of looks like Mystique from, what is it?
Yeah, from X-Men.
Yeah.
And she looks like, what? Where do you think she's from? She kind of looks
Greek
or I don't know. She's very tan and like strong. And then she has a like warrior cat next to her, like sort of a Bengal or something, or like a wild cat.
The card is like this yellow orange, and then her background is like blue. It looks like there's like clouds and there's angel wings. So yeah, the background's blue, very like strong but ethereal.
And everyone is giving eyes straight to camera, like right down the lens, the cat and the warrior woman.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Cool. Okay, so now I'm going to read. Unleash your adventurous side, take risks, and be daring. Message from Freya. Don't play it safe right now. Instead, take bold action in the direction of your true heart's desire. Success comes not from timidity, but from committing yourself fully to realizing your dream. Hold the clear intention of success, and it shall come about. Enjoy the excitement of taking risks, of being bold, and of being daring. And be sure to celebrate your success with a party or by splurging on a wonderful indulgence.
Okay, initial reactions, Tayo, your question was about how can you help this source of conflict in society? And I think what the card is saying, go even further in the direction you're going.
Mm-hmm.
Continue to be bold.
Yeah.
But what does it mean to you so far?
So first thing that spoke to me is, I don't know if you, I think, Rachel, you might know the meaning of my name. Do you know the meaning of my name?
No, I don't think
I do.
Oh,
my God. If it means bold, I'm going to freak out.
So my full name is Akin Tayo, Tayo for short. And I'm from the Yoruba tribe in Nigeria, so it means a warrior as brother's joy. So you said warrior.
Whoa.
The warrior is brother's joy, or the brave one. And so the brave one or warrior, depending on the translation you
use. Wow.
So you talk about being daring, bravery,
that's
warrior.
That's so cool.
You said, Yeah, that you talked about, I was telling you about my problem with some of the tarot cards and all that is even Linux signs is that control thing.
Yeah.
And you're saying that. You're saying it's like, yo, just take risk.
Yeah. I do. Be daring.
Yeah, and I do have a reputation. Sometimes people label me as a square because I tend to maybe be less interested than more people. So maybe, you know, in terms of like, other things. But, I mean, I can see a lot of.
Cool. Yeah. Okay, so now we're going to dig into the various meanings of this card. So this is kind of the answer to the question, possibly. Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Various meanings of this card. Take a risk. Make a bold life change. Appreciate your body.
Yes, Tayo.
Flirt. Go have fun and celebrate.
Nice.
So it is calling for you to have some more adventure, maybe in those areas where you're being square. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Now.
Oh my gosh, that's interesting. Yeah.
I also.
What's that?
What are your thoughts, both of you?
Well, I agree with Rachel's reading of it. Is that it? To me, it sounds like you're already doing all the right things. Just keep being bold. Success will continue to come for you. And like we've been saying, like everything is connected. So if you find joy in like appreciating your body and flirting and going having fun and celebrate, then that could lead into then your work, which then will affect.
What you're doing for humanity. Yes. It's, again, going back to, like the emotional and the sexual houses that sometimes get neglected, but they are part of our overall health. So I do think this card is about, and again, going back to your control, I think this card is about you having some fun time built into your life, which is very mission-driven, which is amazing because you are a warrior for society and for men and young boys, but also you have to you have to enjoy. Maybe you do need a little more... celebration, fun time, boldness, like, going out, flirting.
All right, let's find out about Freya. So, Freya, a Nordic earth goddess of fertility, celebration, and passion, Freya rides in a chariot pulled by mighty cats across the rainbow bridge connecting heaven and earth.
Cool. Mm.
Unafraid of her sexual power, Freya teaches us to appreciate our attractiveness and to enjoy ourselves. No wonder, then, that the day of the week, Friday, was named in her honor, since this day is associated with the end of the work week and a time for celebration.
Very interesting that you essentially were asking about work, because like you said, it's so tied for you, career and humanity, and because that is your work. But this card is kind of saying, like,
have fun
in order to benefit your work. That's really, I think Leah hit the nail on the head with that. Yeah.
How do you feel about all of that?
Yeah, no, I mean, one of the things people might describe me as a definite workaholic, so, and sometimes, people to be semi-fine balance, you know, this weekend, on Saturday, or Friday, rather.
Friday?
Oh, wow, that's true. One of my friends had to kidnap me and get me out to come dance.
They had to kidnap you to have you go dance?
They're like, you're not working today, so come out.
Oh, I'm glad you have them.
Yeah,
good.
That's great.
And how was it?
Oh, it was fun, I actually came back home at like 7. It was 7 a.m., so we all stayed out for a while.
Whoa.
Nice.
You came back Saturday.
I love it.
Yeah, that was the first time. I can't remember the last time I did that, but that was, so that was fun.
Good.
Hell yeah.
Any other thoughts on your reading or any other questions?
I guess I need to have some more fun.
We don't mean to tell you what to do, but do you feel like our assessment is accurate or...
Well, I mean, I feel like people have always told me that. Like, I've had that since I was a kid. Because I'm, like I said, it was sort of this, like, this kid who was always philosophizing and, like, you know, people would be like, just be a kid, or I'd be focusing on, you know, certain types of things that people consider serious, and for me it's fun, but for others it's like, just, you know, loosen up. So I've always heard these things. This is new, yeah, because sometimes, interestingly, sometimes people initially, they might think, I'm a walking paradox, so people think many things about me. They're like, oh, this guy's gonna be square, and they're like, no, you're like the most open-minded. Or this guy, you look very, like, playboy-y. Or they're like, oh, you're not. And so it's always, I've always had those things. I just don't, you know. Mm. So it's just like, same things I've heard. So which is, I guess, a true statement, I guess.
Cool. So, yeah. Great. Good. Okay. Great. All right. I'm going to close the reading by just hugging the card to seal it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Great.
First, do you have anything to plug, Tayo?
Podcast, As Told by Nomads. If you all listen to the podcast, check it out.
Which, clearly they do.
Yeah. So when you finish with this episode, go subscribe to As Told by Nomads, which is Tayo's pod.
Hell yeah. And we like to end each episode with a basic blessing, which is something that we're grateful for today, right now.
Can be small, whatever.
Yeah. I have mine.
Okay, you go first.
I'm grateful for Alexander Graham Bell, who invented the telephone.
Yes.
Because had he not done that, we wouldn't have been able to interview Tayo. So
thank you, Alexander.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Mr. Bell.
Yes, Mr. Bell. Which I think he stole it from someone else, but we'll move past that.
Yeah, Scottish inventor of the telephone, Alexander Graham Bell. I'm grateful you too. Thanks for encouraging me to step out of my comfort zone.
Hell yeah. Yes. And I gotta throw it right back. I'm grateful to you, Tayo, for being an example that it's awesome to be emotional as a man and helping boys find a place to do that.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I hope some of the men you teach come my way and
me too.
Yeah. Treat me with so much respect.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you both will end up with amazing people because they will be lucky to have you in their life. So
that's what we've been saying.
Thank you. Yeah, we believe that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tayo. All right, now take a boomerang for us or a selfie, yeah. Will ya? And we'll text you a picture of your card.
You need a selfie. Selfie is better. Which one is better? Boomerang, selfie, boomerang.
Can we have both?
Okay. I will work in those. Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome. Have fun with it. Be bold with it.
Yeah.
Take a risk.
Don't be afraid to show the gray sweatpants.
Yeah. Yeah, appreciate that body. Listen to Freya.
Yes. Feel that body. all right. Thank you so much,
Tayo.
Thank you.
Bye.
Talk
soon.
Bye.
Basic witches.